The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
We welcome you on this Monday podcast broadcast of the Grace Evangelical Society to Grace in Focus. We are beginning this week with questions and answers. Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling will be answering questions that someone like you has sent in. And for today, Zacchaeus, that wee little man, someone had a question about his eternal salvation. When did that happen? What exactly happened in Luke 19? Stay tuned. Bob and Philippe will give their thoughts about it. Right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org, it's a place where you can go to find resources from the Grace Evangelical Society, books and blogs and videos, all kinds of resources available to you there. Some are free, some have a cost. And we'll say more about this website at the end of today's program, faithalone.org. Now time for today's discussion. Here are Bob and Philippe.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Philippe and I are here again today. And by the way, Philippe, we were talking about your ethnicity, and it seems like you're a League of Nations all of your own. Didn't you say your older sister had that DNA test done? And
a few years ago, my sister sent in a sample. We're all from Haiti. The Caribbean is a mixed area of ethnicity.
Right.
And so what it showed is we had about 20% African, West Africa, 40% Southern Europe, Italy, Spain, a smaller portion from Germany, and even a 5% Jewish ethnicity.
So you're everything.
So we're quite a mix.
So we got a question about a short guy.
Yes, this is from Dan, and he says, would like to hear an explanation about salvation of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10.
I'd like to hear that, too. Okay, Luke 19, we do the little children's song, Wee Little Zacchaeus, and he looks...
Wee Little Man.
Wee Little Man, and he looks and sees Jesus coming, but he's so short he won't be able to see him over the crowd. So he climbs up in this tree, and when he's up in the tree, Jesus looks up and says, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And so then Luke tells us that he made haste, he came down and received him joyfully, which some people say that's kind of a foreshadowing of the fact that he's going to believe in Jesus in the house when Jesus talks to him. In any case, it says, but when they saw it, they complained, saying he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner, because tax collectors were regarded as some of the vilest sinners, right, in Israel.
Yes, they were cooperating of the Romans, and they were, even though they had a position of power representing the Romans, they still were hated and shunned where they lived. So they wouldn't have gone to his house to feast with him.
And some of them actually collected more than they were necessary to collect.
Right. In fact, they had to pay a certain amount to the Romans that was required of them, but they could collect as much as they would beyond that and keep the difference for themselves.
So some of them were unethical. And as we're going to see here, Zacchaeus alludes to that and says, if I was that way, it sounds like maybe he wasn't. Right. But if he was, he's going to restore. So we read about this, and Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. So first of all, he's saying, I'm giving half of what I have away. That's pretty remarkable. And then he says, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.
And that was much beyond what was required.
So he's being very generous. And then the part that I think that he's asking about is Jesus then says, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So the way this is often understood is that Zacchaeus was born again that day. He was saved spiritually or eternally that day because he now became a son of Abraham. He was obviously physically a son of Abraham before that day, but now he has spiritually become a son of Abraham. And that's quite possible that he was born again at this point. But if so, we're not told that he believed in Jesus for everlasting life. It's at most an inference.
And so the question is, you know, when Jesus says salvation has come to this house, and it follows his generosity in being willing to give so much. So that could be twisted to mean that it's because of what he was committing to do somehow salvation has come to him. So we have to define what might be meant by salvation here.
Yeah, we got two issues. First of all, what is the salvation? And secondly, what was the condition to get it?
Right.
If this is salvation from eternal condemnation, we know from John 3:16, etc., then it's simply faith in Christ, in which case Jesus must have evangelized him when he was in the house and Zacchaeus came to faith. But there are a number of people who think that the salvation here is not salvation from eternal condemnation, but this is more salvation from the deadly consequences of sin, salvation from sin's bondage. Some people think Zacchaeus was already born again, and that what Jesus is saying is he, like Abraham, has now become a friend of God.
Yes.
A follower of Christ.
And within the context of Luke, especially with that statement, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. If we go back to Luke 15, you know, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son.
Right.
So here we can interpret that as meaning people that have everlasting life, but who have wandered away, a lost sheep, you know, a lost son, and who are come back and restored back to fellowship. So here, that same phrase is used. So it could be that Zacchaeus had believed in Christ for everlasting life.
Before this point. Before he climbs the tree.
Perhaps he had continued in some ways, though, in his tax gatherer way of perhaps taking advantage. But now he's willing to give and to restore to fellowship with the Lord.
And in Luke 15, it seems clear to me, and I think to you, that all three are examples of believers who strayed. The sheep was part of the fold before he strayed.
Yeah, and the coin was part of this necklace
or whatever it was. Yeah. And the son was a son before he departed, and he didn't become a son by coming back. So in Luke 15, at least, that's the case. I think maybe what we could say, and see what you think of this, Philippe, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, called the Synoptic Gospels, they do not give us any verses that are as clear as John 3:16 or John 5:24. They're not evangelistic books. They're discipleship books. And so there's lots of places in Matthew, Mark, and Luke where it's not crystal clear what's going on. And I think this is an example.
Yes.
Is it possible that Zacchaeus was born again that day? Yes. But if so, he wasn't born again because he said, I'm giving half my money and because I'm restoring.
That was just a gratitude response.
Right. Yeah. He was born again because he believed in Jesus for everlasting life. But if this salvation is salvation from sin's bondage, which is also quite possible, in fact, you're right, in light of Luke 15, more likely maybe.
Yes.
Then this could be a believer who is now a person who's come out of the darkness and said, I'm going to openly confess Christ. I'm going to follow him. Like John 8:30-32, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, this could be him being set free from sin's bondage.
And the sin's bondage for him was perhaps the greed that was natural to a tax gatherer.
Used to be, I was almost certain this had to be talking about the new birth because it uses salvation in context with he too is a son of Abraham. And it was today he gained this salvation. Today he became a son of Abraham. But now I'm having second thoughts because that also works with the fact that Abraham was more than a born-again person. He was a friend of God.
Yes.
Abraham was more than someone who believed in Jesus. He was someone who followed him. Hebrews 11 tells us he was looking to the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
So I think it works both ways, and I now kind of lean toward the view you're suggesting that he was already born again.
And I think that's consistent with the purpose of Luke being more of a discipleship gospel.
Yeah. Okay, I have another question. This person wants to know about Matthew 7:13-14. So maybe you can turn there. This is Al, and he says, I don't understand Matthew 7:13-14. What does Jesus mean when he says we need to strive to enter the narrow gate and that the way is hard? Does that imply an intense struggle to be saved? And then he says, how does that square with verses like Galatians 2:16, that a man is justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law?
Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Yeah, and I would say notice the word strive doesn't appear there. Now, there is a parallel text where the word strive is used. What I would say is this, since it's talking about entering into life, I would say that is talking about everlasting life. But again, we're talking Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are not written to unbelievers. So we're not expecting verses like John 3:16. And I think the simple answer here is that the narrow way is narrow because it's contrary to people's expectations. The idea that everlasting life is by faith alone, apart from works, is considered an anathema by not just people outside Christianity, but most people inside, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we examine all the religions of the world, you know, they're all ultimately works-centered.
But that's true with most Protestants, too.
Yeah, except for a remnant, perhaps, right. That, well, like Abraham just believed.
It could be that you need to exert some effort to find the truth when there's so much error out there. So you may need to pray about this. You may need to go to a church. You may need to talk to some Christian friends. You may need to be open. You may need to read the Gospel of John. That's not striving in the sense of doing good works. It's striving in the sense of, how do I find the truth?
And an example of that is the Apostle Paul. Talks about his background in the book of Philippians and how he had to give up his whole work-centered focus and to just simply believe.
So Matthew 7:13 and 14 isn't contradicting Galatians 2:16 or John 3:16 or any other text. All it's simply saying is that the faith alone way is a narrow way. There's not many ways to be born again. There's one way. Well, thanks for joining us, and
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on Grace in Focus, Bob and Philippe will have another question and answer for you. This time about assurance or eternal security. Is it required that you have it in order to receive the gift of eternal salvation? Join us next time on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.